Ist und Vollsler.
Den Anfänger und Vollender unseres Glaubens. Und wir sehen dein wunderbares Werk, deine Herrlichkeit, Herr, deinen Vorsatz, dich selbst, Herr Jesus, den Geist. Wir sehen dich, Herr Jesus, in deiner Herrlichkeit in der Gemeinde.
Lord, thank you for your glory in the church. We do thank you for the way you have with each one of us in your love. Thank you, Father.
Ja, wir kommen heute zum letzten, zu den letzten Versen.
We will have the last verses of Ephesians 2 today. It's a wonderful chapter. And you could say it is really comprehensive, all-inclusive. The Lord gave a lot of grace to see of Him and His eternal purpose to receive light. Now, let's read these verses of Ephesians 2, 18 to 22. Together. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Yes, we can see the grace of God in our whole life. In verse 11, Paul says to the Ephesians, therefore remember where you come from. Once you from the nations, from the Gentiles, remember where you came from. You lived in the age of this world. You were under the rulership of the powers and authorities in the air. You lived a life in the lusts of the flesh, doing the will of the flesh. And you were under the wrath of God. Again in verse 11 he says that. Where we came from. Nations in the flesh. Separated from Christ. Strangers. Alienated. Stranger from the covenants of promise. We didn't know our life will have a promise. There is a plan, a purpose of God for it. We were without hope and without God in the world. I still quite remember quite well. Without God, without hope and without God in this world. To me, it was a big suffering, great suffering. Even as a Christian, I still had lots of troubles. I did not know the truth. I came to the church life then and realized the purpose of the Lord. And all of us, having heard the word and the revelation, saw the revelation of the church, and saw all the images, the pictures, the descriptions in the Bible, saying the body of Christ, the new man, the temple of God, the house of God, the dwelling place of God, the warrior of God, the bride of God, whatever there is, it did not have much meaning to us before. But now, since we are in the church, all of these wonderful words shining, it's radiant. The Spirit unveiled this to us. Why? This, because we started giving ourselves for the purpose of God. Then all this word is being made alive. I do thank the Lord for all His revelation until today. He revealed a lot already in Ephesians 2. But in this conference, He even revealed more of this. And after the conference, when we go again through this chapter, we will receive even more revelation. There is a burden of the Lord within it. The Lord wants to reveal, and He wants to gain us through the light we received. We are not here in a Christian group. I have been in many Christian groups before, but I know for a long time I knew this is it. My first visit to the church was a realization, this is it. And I asked Him, Lord, please take me with You. Take me along. If You want to build Your church, Lord, I will join. At least I want to be with them, join them. But in this conference even, we received so much encouragement to cooperate, to work together, not only join as a guest, but to be a co-worker. You are partaker, not only passively. Well, it says, be built in. Be built into the house. Be fit and knit together. In the beginning it sounds passive, right? We are passively active. That means we look to the Lord quite carefully and follow Him very closely. Follow Him very closely. We watch the Lord, don't we? Not so much the saints. Don't discern the saints. We all look to the Lord. Lord, reveal Yourself more. I want to see more of You. And then you are getting active with what you saw. You enter into the house of God, and you are exhibiting what you have received. And Him bring into the house. We have a song about this. We want to do this. Exhibit Christ. Let us exhibit Christ. Everyone has something you can bring of Christ into the house and be built up. In the church, what we do is only building up. As Paul says, the Lord gave him authority to build up, not to tear down. Watch out that you will not tear down, right? That is the work of God. You're allowed to build up. That is His work. But if you start tearing down, this will be dangerous for you.
Wir haben hier mit Jesus Christus selbst zu tun.
Here we deal with Jesus Christ Himself. It is God. In Jesus Christ, the whole, we are being fitted together and growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And in this, we are also being built up into a dwelling place of God in spirit. In spirit. We will later see that more. We are being built up. Without this Spirit, no building. Do you want to build the church after a certain strategy? There's so much talk about building up of churches, multiplication, multiplying members, and how to collect donations. You can find all this. Christianity is filled with this. But the dwelling place of God itself, you can only build in the Spirit. That's why it says a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. No spirit, then there is no dwelling place. The more you try to manage your own work and strategy, the lesser you will have the true church life. Lord, teach us to build properly, adequately. The dwelling place of God is not a doctrine of a teacher bringing out a new item. No, it is a central point in the whole Bible. When is the dwelling place of God mentioned the first time? Do you know? Where is it mentioned the first time in the Bible? Yes, it's the dream of Jacob. Jacob's dream. It's Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Jacob, as a young man, he was quite young at that time. Really. I believe less than 20 years. He had to escape from his brother. He had deceived, he had forged him of his first birth right. He had to escape. He had deceived him. And then he escaped and he ran to a place where he slept at night and he put a stone as a pillow, and that was a wonderful dream he had at that night, seeing a ladder from earth to heaven. And the angels of God walking up and down. Did you ever have a dream like this? I never did. But he had this dream, and he knew this not only was a dream, but it was a vision of something real. God gave him in this dream all the promises he had also given to his father Abraham before. Jacob, this heel holder, this deceiver, receives such a promise, a revelation. Well, this is the sovereignty of God. Out of this perverted man, He had a heart fully for God. Still, he deceived his brother for the blessing of his father. For the sake of the blessing of his father. God even counted, reckoned this for him positively. So he, God stands with this zealous one, although he allows that he would suffer much during his life. And then he gives him this dream. He rises up again. And what does he say? Does anybody know? How awesome is this place? Terrible, even. Would you have said terrible? No, you would have said, this is fantastic. Well, he said, it is awesome. He had a healthy fear of God, awe before God. Right? This is the house of God, he says. Here is nothing else but the house of God. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. In order to find back this place, he puts up the stone, makes a little pillar, and he poured oil on top of it, right? As a sign for the Spirit. And he called this place Bethel, the house of God. It's the first mentioning of the house of God. It's a vision a man received during his flight. While he escaped, you can see a lot in this example. Until the real house of God was built, a few hundred years still passed by. But this vision remained. And who was he who was really building the house? Well, it was Moses. Well, it was a tent at his time, a tent in the desert. That was the house. When the father told Moses, build a house to me, that was Exodus 25. He tells him, do everything exactly as I showed you on the mountain. God cares very much that you build exactly the way he said, right? You should be aware of this. Exactly as he told us. There were many regulations, ordinances, prescriptions. How this tent had to be built. What do you think are today the rules and regulations how this tent should be built today? What do we do? What do we have? What instructions do we have? What should we follow? What do you think? There is only one instruction. In the Spirit. This is good enough. The age turned. Jesus came. Of course, before we saw the temple was built, temple was destroyed and rebuilt, and the people of Israel came back from Babylon, build up the house of God. Zechariah prophesied so much. He said, come out of Babylon. Build the house. It says, this shall happen through my Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. die Zusage an das Volk Gottes, and also the promise to the people of God, coming back to build the house. He said, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. He says, I will stand with you. I will fight for you. I will protect you. It is really dangerous to touch the work of the Lord.
Aber heute, was wir heute bauen, ist ein Werk im Geist.
What we build today is a work in the Spirit.
Und was wir heute anstreben müssen, ist
and what Geist. We try to gain more of is the Spirit.
Ein Leben im Geist.
You need a life in the Spirit to build the church. Building up in the Spirit could be so easy in the heavens somewhere, translated into the heavens. Well, for this you would not need a New Testament with 500 pages. What happens in the heavens, God will take care of. But what we are to do here on the earth is feed on Christ. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply follow Him. How should I follow? In the Spirit. In the Spirit, because the Lord works in His Spirit. I have to discern soul from Spirit. Everything in the Spirit. And everything the Lord has given already. As we saw in chapter 2, although we were far off, far away, God, due to His great love with which He loved us, right? Enjoy this word, saints, the great love with which He loved us. Hear the love of God. Listen, God says He loves you. Feel this love of God. Ask the Lord, Lord, touch me with your love. Not only show me your love, but it should be wrought into your heart. For this, you definitely need this contact with the love of God. Before you have not touched the love, unless you've touched the love of God, you cannot say, I know the Lord. You may know a lot of truth, but touch the Lord. I said, the first time I touched the Lord, I said, Lord, now I know you. Now I know you. You are so wonderful.
Das hat mich damals schon zur Hingabe bewegt.
That was what moved me to consecrate myself. It was not sufficient yet. By far.
Ich musste immer wieder zum Herrn. Und der Herr musste mich immer wieder.
I again and again had to come to the Lord. The Lord had to remind me, do you love me?
Ich hatte immer wieder eine neue Berührung mit dem Herrn.
I again and again touch the Lord freshly. It is much better to be drawn by the love of God than by laws and regulations. We have to love the Lord above everything.
Ephesus hat eine Geschichte hinter sich. Ich sag euch, ich glaube, es ist
Ephesus
sogar mehr als
has a history
über Ephesus geschrieben.
Even in the Bible, in the New Testament, it is more written about Ephesus than about Jerusalem, right? Read Acts 18, 19, 20. Read
it.
All the things that took place, the fights, the uproar of the idol worshippers, you know. Then the beginning of the church life in Ephesus, the conflict with the Jews, they were opposing the church. What does Paul do? What did Paul do? He took separate those that wanted to listen to the word of God. He took them to a separate room and continued teaching them. And the church grew and grew. That was really the blessing of the Lord. But never without problems. Never. Then on his trip back, the way he traveled back, he passed by Ephesus again, and he called the elders to come and visit him. And he gave them exhorting words on their way. He said, I have not withheld anything of the counsel of God, the whole counsel of God. And now I command you to God and the word of his grace. And before that, he warns them, watch out. The wolves coming from outside, not sparing the flock. They think they can do their own work. And watch, take heed of the brothers from inside. That lest someone comes and brings a new teaching and draws many after himself. This will happen. Be careful. You think harmonious church life, this cannot happen to us. Well, the Lord can allow, let me say it that way. The Lord is the Lord. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. Exalt himself to be the head of the church. It is our obligation, our blessing, to submit ourselves under him as the head, the Lord as the head. This makes the church so healthy if we all bow down under him as our head and not think, oh, I could do something in the church life now. Watch out. Take heed. Take heed to yourself and your heart. This could touch the apple of the eye of the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we are so quick. We listen, and all of a sudden, our heart is inclined to someone else. Someone else feels treated unrighteously and expresses how he suffers, how unrighteous this treatment is. And there is always someone having compassion with it, such a one. And From one you have two, and from two you have six, and so it spreads. You will immediately have a party, a bunch, a group of, for example, animals, if they hunt, if wolves hunt, they form groups. There is a more German term of grouping, grouping together. We do not have this in the church. We have no opposition in the church. We don't need this. The world needs this. We have a government in Germany consisting of three parties, different parties, and it's not easy for them to do anything. And then still is an opposition. So it's two more parties forming the opposition in parliament. It's not that easy. But somehow they manage to get along. As long as we have the democracy, opposition is fine. But in the new man, I never saw anything of opposition. Of a opposition. Excuse me.
Wie das wohl der Herr sehen will, hat etwa der Herr die Opposition erweckt?
How does the Lord see it? Did the Lord stir up opposition? I never saw anything like this in the New Testament. An opposing party.
Das heißt nicht, dass die Ältesten hier ohne.
It doesn't mean that elders rule without any control. No. Peter said, watch out, you elders. You have to give an account to the Lord, right? You have to humble yourself before the Lord. Many times even, they have to submit to the Lord and bear the cross. We spoke a lot about the blood of the Lord, about the cross, about the effect of the cross. This is written here in Ephesians 2. We have to take heed of this. Through the cross, immediately, promptly, the old man is terminated. As soon as you are aware, I have to deal with the crucified Christ. My wrath is terminated immediately. And you say, Lord, I'm ready to carry the cross. But this injustice, unrighteousness, well, bring the injustice you suffered to the cross. Bring your pain to the cross. The Lord says, come to me, all your heavily laden, burdened. I want to refresh you. Let me read this again to you. From Matthew 11 at the end. Come to me, all you who labor, 28, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the invitation of the Lord. It's an invitation to all those that suffer injustice. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle. The Lord is gentle. He could absolutely show up in a different way, but he is gentle and meek, lowly in heart. He wants to give you something of his lowliness. Be gentle of heart. Be lowly with, together with the Lord. Whatever we lack, we receive with Christ, in Christ. Everything. Be a believer. And request courageously from the Lord what he has promised. Come to the Lord. Lord, you are this. I need this. I need you. Lord, you are the high priest. You are fit for me. It says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Yes, hallelujah. I have no humility, but I have the Lord. He is humbled from his heart. Not only a pretended lowliness. Of Moses it says he was the most humble man on earth. But I tell of the Lord, I tell you of the Lord, he is still meeker than Moses, more lowly than anybody else. The Lord had all the good characteristics, counting before God. Take him. This brings you in a good reputation before the Father God. Tell him, Lord, take you as my person. We sang in a song, Lord, I take you as my person, completely. Your thinking be my thinking. Your will be my will. I want what you want. And Lord, my emotion, fill it with your love.
Und dann sieh einfach mal das Ergebnis an. Solche Sachen müssen wir im Glauben nehmen. Der Glaube ist nicht nur,
and then look at the result. Faith is not just to be saved.
Epheser 2. Denn aus Gnade seid ihr gerettet.
Ephesians 2. Of grace you've been saved by faith, through faith, and not that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You can continue in your whole life. It should say, not of myself, out of him. It is his grace. Apply it. Claim it. Take more of the Lord. A lot of things will change then. Everything will change then. This is your destination. That you live of Christ. You receive everything. What is the Spirit? The Spirit is the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ. The Christ having died for me, has risen again, is sitting on the throne now. It is the Christ I have been bound together with. Right? Everything we have in this Christ. I am in Christ. As I take this sheet of paper and put it into my Bible here, my book, the same way I have been transferred into Christ and all the things that happened to this book happened to that page and therefore to me as well. I am in Christ eternally. We do sing that, don't we? Such is the Lord. He gave himself. He is lowly and meek, lowly of heart. Take him. Then you will find rest for your soul. That is important to find rest for our soul, right? That's how we experience the Lord. Every day we can experience him like this. It is important that we experience him personally. Everyone for himself. You should know him as he is. Truly. If you are in the church life, you have to know him. That is a must. Right? You cannot build up the church without the Lord, without the Spirit. No church. The Lord is the Spirit. Take the Lord. Touch him. Not only touch him. Sometimes you have to fight a battle with him. Demand. strongly request from him, even impertinent as this poor widow in Luke. The Lord tells of her, she received what she wanted because of her impertinent urging. Luther translated this strangely. An impertinent desire. Unconditionally, desperately, I want a change. Claim this from the Lord, and you will find rest for your soul. All the difficulties in the church life are caused by a restless soul. The word says you should enter into the rest. There is a rest for the people of God. A rest in glory with the resurrected one. We should know the Lord in person. It's not sufficient to know him personally for myself, but we must know him in the church. We have to see how does he work in the church, or does he speak in the church and to the church. I spoke of Ephesus. What a long history this city has. What does he speak to the church in Ephesus? The epistle to Timothy. What does he speak to the church in Ephesus? Timothy was in Ephesus. And Paul exhorts him at the beginning of his epistle.
Wie ich dich ermahnt habe, in Ephesus zu bleiben, als ich nach Mazedonien abreiste, damit du einigen Gebieten.
I exhorted you to abide, to stay in Ephesus, that you would exhort others not to teach differently, neither to occupy themselves with bad stories, endless genealogies, rather cause problems than in discussions rather than promotion of God's economy in faith. We want to further that. During our summer conferences, we also went through Timothy. Very practical. This verse here as well. And also 3:15, that you should know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. You should know that because there are many, many souls and many difficulties, a lot of movement in the body, but also much glory. How you ought to walk, to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. That is a warning, but it is a glory. His glory. I tell you, the church in Ephesus did not have an easy job. But the word that was sent to them is glorious. All these lots of troubles, God proved himself glorious. They fought. They corrected, rectified. They removed the obstacles. Sometimes when you read this, you think, does this church only consist of troubles? No, the church is full of life, consists of life. You should be sensitive that this life not decrease, but increase, right? Be watchful if life decreases. Truly, pray more, as a sister said. We have to pray. Pray until the light shines. until the background is made visible, maybe even for weeks, pray their troubles. Pray, pray, and then the Lord will do it. What we need in the church life is prayer. If we do not have any difficulties, still pray. Martin Luther said, it is wonderful to call on the name of the Lord. When you have troubles, call on the Lord. But if you have no troubles, you even call on the Lord more. This is the greatest temptation. Satan will attack. Everything is harmonious, so beautiful, and the church life so nice. And all of a sudden, Satan is right there, causing discord, disharmony. Praise the Lord. We do have a vision and know what it's all about. What matters most in the church life. The end of Ephesians 2 is the goal of God with us. That is our final goal. Being built up as a dwelling place of God and Spirit. Of course, Ephesians doesn't stop here, but from the beginning to the end of that chapter, it is describing our whole life. We are here where we are to be, the place where you can enjoy the Lord in all His riches, breadth, height, length, and depth. Now you're right here. Now, saints, is the point of time where we as members of the body have to function. Someone mentioned these verses from 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Yes.
1 Corinthians 2 is also very good to read, über den Geist. Römer 8, wenn du den Geist.
Chapter 2 is also nice. Read these chapters if you want to experience the Lord. You see how the Lord works in the church. Read 1 Corinthians 12. You will see how the Spirit is taking care of the building. And the Spirit is active everywhere in the building. No one can say, Lord Jesus, except of the Holy Spirit. So say a lot, Lord Jesus, I want the Spirit. I want you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your cross, your resurrection. Lord Jesus Christ, I have been baptized into you. You are in me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is wonderful to experience this like this. Then I will know there are many gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many ministries, but the same Lord. Many works, but the same God. The whole triune God is active. Now, don't analyze too much. Just take a look to verse 7, saying, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Right? Now, you take turns your view away from your own piousness to the Lord. I look to what the Lord is building. That's why the church life is so interesting. Whether we are few or many, the Lord spoke at that time here and there, working here and there. That is wonderful to see that, isn't it? Daily experience. Every day we need fellowship. It never gets too much to us. I don't hope the conference got too much to you. that you would have the ears always open to hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Oh, Herr Jesus, Herr Jesus Christus, die Gemeinde.
The church, everyone, well, Lord, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:8. It's the same one Spirit. Yes, wonderful. Let's practice that. Ask the Lord what is being given to me. I want something to give as well. Wonderful. The Lord gives. Remember the word the Lord said, seek, you will find. Ask, you will receive. Knock on the door and it will be opened. Knock on. Knock at the door. You have to know, get to know him better. The word says, everyone shall know the Lord, from the small to the great among us. Go to the Lord. Lord, I knock at your door. I want to know you, Lord. Show yourself to me. Ask him, Lord, I want to know you better. Paul never ceased, never stopped. Philippians 3:10, he says, I want to know him more. He doesn't say more, he says, I simply want to know him. But it says, the meaning was more. He knew the Lord already, but he wanted more. Do you also know more of him? And if I see you and those that have left already, traveled away, I see the ones online meeting. In the Spirit, I see them. And you all know the Lord. If I look at you, you know the Lord. But it's not sufficient yet, not enough yet. We have to know the Lord more. We have to know the Lord more. That's our activity and the church life. I want to know you more. For what? For my own spirituality? No. For the profit of all and the church. At that time, the church in Corinth, today, the church at your respective places. That is the church. What about the other churches, other Christians?
Mach's nicht so kompliziert. Schau auf den Herrn.
Don't be so complicated. Be for the church. Be for the Lord. If the Lord called you for the church, keep building here. I'm convinced the Lord here has his work. The work. If you want to get to know the Lord and his work, come to the church. Abide in the church life.
Folge dem Herrn.
Follow the Lord.
Wenn der Herr dich aus der Gemeinde führt,
if the Lord leads you out the church, outside the church,
aus der Gemeinde gehen willst, alles okay.
Or if you want to leave and go out of the church, leave the church, you're free to do that. The church is a completely voluntary fellowship. The Lord gave the grace that you would see the church. He showed you his church. And still, it is your choice whether you stay. But I can assure you, if you do, you will see the glory of the Lord. The Lord never said, to the disciples, you have to abide with me. Well, no, some left the Lord even. And he asked the others, do you also want to leave? But Peter then said, Lord, where should we go? You have words of eternal life. Watch your heart, lest it be deceived. Deceived by those that think it's better to leave the church life. No, take heed of the Lord, even in troubles. If there are troubles in the church life, then I close eyes and ears and only go to the Lord. Only to the Lord. Not hear the rumors here and there. Go to the Lord. Tell the Lord, I've been crucified with you. Now no longer do I live, but I believe in you. I live in the faith of you. You have to come back to the fellowship with the Lord. Keep the oneness. We do not want to take part of discord. Not taking party. This is damaging. Allow the Lord. Let the Lord show you what your attitude should be like. Our hearts for the Lord. And we have to know the Lord. Especially for the church life. For the profit of all. As the Lord distributes, then it says in verse 11, these things works the one Spirit, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as he wills. Don't compare with other saints, what they have and you don't have. The next chapter deals with this way of comparing. This is deadly, killing you. Look to the Lord. Enjoy the Lord, and what you enjoyed, bring into the church, the body. We have to know the Lord in relation to the saints. If he has given us such a great revelation, we are being built up in spirit to his church, his house, to his holy temple, then we should know him quite well, even with a view to the church. Don't compare as Peter did in John 21. He compared himself to John. That was very impressive. The Lord took Peter to himself and said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, well, you know it. Yes, I love you. The Lord says, again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter answered again, yes, Lord, you know it. And then the third time, Peter, do you love me? But then Peter became sad, saying, yes, you know it. I love you. And after every question and answer, the Lord said to Peter, shepherd my sheep, shepherd my lambs, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. That in order for Peter to really be aware of what he has received from the Lord, the shepherding of the saints. Then Peter does what is written in the second part of Corinthians. He looks to John, He loved the Lord, this John. And what happens with this one, he was asking? Do me love me more than the others? But then he turned to John, the apostle. More than John. Because Peter had denied the Lord before, just recently. Then the Lord says, what do you mind? What is that to you? That is a sharp rejecting word from the Lord. The Lord rebuked him like this when Peter wanted to preserve the Lord from the cross. He said, the Lord said, I have to die, resurrect. But Peter said, oh, by no means this shall happen to you. Well, but the Lord then says, Satan, get behind me. Peter experienced some sharp corrections from the Lord. This helped him. If you are rebuked by the Lord, this should help you. Especially if you start comparing. If you realize you look to the other one, what does he have? No, then better turn to the Lord. I have everything in you. You are my all. With you, God has given us everything freely. Tell him. Then your standing is right.
Herr Jesus Christus. Ja, lass uns jetzt hier enden. Es ist ein großes Geheimnis, Christus und die Gemeinde. Und wenn wir dieses große Geheimnis gesehen haben,
let's close here. Sorry.
Dann haben wir sehr, sehr viel gesehen. Und wenn wir es beobachten, wie der Herr im Leib arbeitet,
if we've seen the church, we will be clear, and we will have gained much. I forgot one point of Ephesus.
Das Sendschreiben an Ephesus. Ganz wichtig.
That's the final letter to Ephesus in Revelation, right? Because it says they went through so much and bore so many burdens and were not able to bear the evil ones and exposed the false apostles, etc. All this the Lord saw and recognized, acknowledged. But the most important thing they missed, that was the first love. That is the most important thing, that we love the Lord above all and everything to the end. Tell the Lord, Lord, I do love you. Amen. Not only do I love you because you love me, but because you have poured out your love into my heart, that's why I love you. Your Holy Spirit has been poured out into my heart. Your love is in my heart. That's why I love you in faith. Tell it to him, whether you will not receive an answer from the Lord. The Lord will answer, I loved you ever and ever. I've ever always loved you. Let it be a mutual love. As the Lord loved you, you can never love him. But at least a little bit. A little bit more. We want to know him more. Not only a little, but a little bit more. We have to know him more. That the church be more glorious. The Lord is dependent on us. That everyone would bring his portion, his or her portion. The Lord told Peter, You follow me.
Folge du mir nach.
You follow me.
Das erste Mal hat Petrus und Andreas gesagt, folge du mir nach.
The first time he told Peter and Andrew, you follow me.
Und sie sind sofort gekommen.
And they immediately did in Matthew 4. But at the end, after his resurrection, he tells it to Peter one more time. You follow me. We need this again and again as an encouragement, as our direction. You follow me. And the church life now. For the building up of the church now. We have reached where we can fulfill the heart's desire of the Lord as His beloved bride. You follow me. Praise the Lord. Amen.